Hello, SMU community. Welcome to your SMU Library Spotlight. Whether you're a student, staff member, faculty, or alumni, this is the place where you can hear about new and noteworthy ideas that are being explored at our university. We will be taking on a variety of topics that are related to research and events occurring on campus, while linking them to resources and services provided at Patrick Power. These interviews go beyond talking about books and instead aim to link us all to the heart of our community, the library. This interview was conducted in October 2021 with Rohini Banerjee, a faculty member in Modern Languages and Classics, and currently the Associate Vice President, Diversity Excellence. Talking with librarian Shauna Murphy, Rohini discusses a number of topics, in particular, her work writing From Band-Aid to Scalpels, Motherhood Experiences in of Medicine.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. I'm here today with Dr. Rohini Banerjee, whose pronouns are she, her, elle, who was born and raised in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, in Canada. She is a daughter of immigrants from North India and an associate professor of French and Francophone Studies in the Department of Modern Languages and Classics. She's also the graduate coordinator of the International Development Studies Program and a faculty member in the Asian Studies and Graduate Women and Gender Studies Program at St. Mary's University. Rohini's primary research focuses on the literatures and cultures of the Francophone Indian Ocean. When she is not teaching poetry and fiction, she attempts to write it herself. Her work has appeared with Cambridge Scholars, Caitlin Press, and Canadian Scholars and Women's Press. Rohini self-identifies as a woman scholar of color. Thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Banerjee. We're very excited to have you on our first ever SMU Library podcast.
Thank you, Shauna. It's always a pleasure to be with you and also to talk about books. I'm excited.
Yeah. So speaking of which, you have a new book that has just been published this past May, correct?
That's right. Yes. It's a book that I co-edited with my husband, who is also happens to be an alum of St. Mary's. The two of us came together a while back thinking about how we could both use our love of writing, understanding people and their experiences, and also our sort of formal background. He's a physician and I'm in academia and in the Faculty of Arts. So really try to think about how we could work together while still maintaining our marriage, of course. And he's also been very interested in medical humanities. And so it was an opportunity to kind of put those two things together. So I was on sabbatical and I proposed to him, hey, do you want to co-edit a book with me? And I really, really wanted to explore motherhood through the lens of medicine and discuss perhaps in a very open way using creative fiction, academic journal type articles, perhaps even opinion pieces about the experiences of motherhood in all its forms. So he agreed, and we managed to put a call for papers to Demeter Press, a well-known, well-established publishing house in Ontario, and who focuses primarily on motherhood and all of the iterations of motherhood, and such a plural and diverse, scope of books that come out of Demeter Press. So we knew that we found the right place. Despite pandemics, we were able to get this out in print in 2021, and we're really delighted to share it with all of you.
Wow, cool. Congratulations on that. That's no mean feat, given the circumstances that we've all been faced with over the past year and a half. So the book is called, right, From Band-Aids to Scalpels, Motherhood Experiences in/of Medicine. And so you really, from my understanding, focused on experiences of people who are mothers in medicine, and also how people feel about physicians who are mothers. Is that correct?
That's right. And also physicians and their experiences as they become mothers, and also mothers who have to or asked to, or perhaps without choice, are engaging with medicine in the sense that have to have interventions, for example, during birth. Perhaps what happens when a physician mother becomes ill? That was one of the really interesting pieces we received. An idea of, you know, doctors can't get sick, but what happens when a doctor is a mother and becomes sick? And so this notion of playing about, you know, often if we do identify as a mother, we are a doctor mom, this notion that we have Band-Aids in the bottom of our bag somewhere, always ready to take care of that our wounded child. But what happens when we are the wounded? And then what happens on top of that if we're a physician? And, you know, the joke was always that, oh, doctors are terrible patients. And how is this going to work? So we received some interesting pieces on that notion. We also had a lot of first person narratives, which looked at sort of an array of lived experiences as well. We were delighted to include Dr. Ariel Watson, who's my own colleague in the Faculty of Arts, who talked about informed consent and what occurred to her during the birth of her child. We have some well-known names from the region as well. Dr. AJ, many of you might know her, who has been a consultant on CTV, and a couple of other local doctors, physicians who are mothers, who talked about the challenges of both being mother and physician at the same time, and some of the reflections of the invisibility of their work. Which many of us know that moms do a lot of firefighting, but what happens when you're a physician, and some of the emotional and physical burnout that happens to physicians, particularly if they're moms, and how these roles are superimposed. So we were really delighted to hear all of those vast experiences. We talked about advocacy. We had some contributors who talked about creating community and a sense of belonging from others. And of course, if you're intersectional in your identity, this can always be a challenge of finding community that makes you feel belonged, heard, understood, and challenged, particularly during the postpartum period, which can lead and has led to many to suffer from depression. And so one of our contributors really talked about the clinical recognition of postpartum depression in order to build support for mothers. It keeps going. We've got lots of things to talk about. It's a skinny little book, but we were able to jam a lot in there. And it's all about the plurality of motherhood intersecting with medicine.
Right. So just picking up on that note of intersectionality, you said before that you really went out of your way to bring different voices to the table in this book, correct?
Absolutely. We as both of us identify as people of color. Both of us have an identity that is plural, and both of us have been advocates and activists in terms of discussing openly academics' roles, the academia itself, the role of ensuring that anti-Black racism is discussed and is dismantled. And so Kareem and I really wanted to ensure that we made an effort, a targeted effort, to ensure that the call for papers was inclusive and allow different ways of expression. I mean, that's one of the things about Demeter Press that I really enjoy, is that they really are really about creativity. And also ensuring that we had perspectives that talked about the Black experience. So we were really happy to have Kimberly C. Harper contribute. She looked at Black maternal health by examining implicit bias within the context of patriarchal health workforces. And she's somebody I follow on Twitter, and I've learned so much from Dr. Harper. We looked at also the plurality of Blackness and Black identity, where we looked at Dr. Das's study, who looked at women in the slum neighborhood of Delhi. And no, they are not people who identify as of African origin, but there were elements of colorism, shadism, and casteism within that work, really looking at how class and socioeconomic inaccessibility affects healthcare. And Dr. Wolgang looked at female physicians in Cameroon and the experiences and that they've had and how they manage their own maternity in the context of a country that has very, very high maternal mortality. So really interesting perspective to have Black experience, Delhi, India, and the colorism, shadism, caste, socioeconomic burdens, and then Dr. Wolgang in Cameroon. And really, you know, looking at how a text like this could help dismantle some of the discussions on motherhood within medicine. And these set of chapters were really looking at the lived experiences of women of color. And this was something that we wanted to target for sure.
That's so refreshing, I think, especially when we address motherhood in our culture. We often talk about, well, in lots of cultures probably, we talk a lot about sort of these sweeping generalizations, right? Mothers are caregivers, they're loving, they're, you know, all of these things that we sort of ascribe to mothers, but what motherhood looks like is very different depending on people's backgrounds and cultures and lived experiences. So that is really a unique way to, I think, approach this topic, and really nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, like it is diverse, and we wanted to make sure the call for papers, as I mentioned, was broad. We looked at, you know, healthcare providers as mothers, but then we also talked about how the medical profession is also has become more feminized, and the feminization of medicine, and this is increasing the attention that's being paid to the experiences of physicians as mothers. And so we did some research on that, and you know, this includes sort of the stress factor that physician mothers experience during their pregnancies and the re-entry to the clinical work after giving birth. So that is important because medicine and women are changing the face of how medicine is being practiced. And but are those women of color? Are those women coming from diverse socioeconomic backgrounds? Those are the questions we wanted to ask as well. Practitioners have reflected sort of on this hidden cost of physician mothers bearing the balance to care for their patients while caring for their family in a medical culture that can stigmatize and induce shame, which is ironic because medical health providers can also be part of the problem that you need to be. And this is the word that I really don't like, and we've been hearing it a lot during the COVID pandemic, is resilience. And I have such concerns with that term, particularly if you're a woman, and particularly if you're a woman who is BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, or a person of color. And so we weren't surprised to learn that the contemplations of motherhood by our physician contributors also brings about contemplations about their career choice altogether. Some of our, you know, our colleagues who shared their work really questioned whether medicine was the right choice for them. And so medicine as a culture needs to recognize the importance of caring for its own physicians, just as it is expected that physicians care for others. So that is sort of that there's this in slash of medicine bit. We both really wanted it to be a va-et-vient, this back and forth, and then it's a relationship with medicine. And some of our contributors really ripped it apart and told us that these are the problems that we're facing, and even offered some options and some opportunity to think forward.
That's wonderful. It's nice to see it discussed so in depth. I guess I want to pick up a little bit on what you said there about, women in the profession and how the profession treats women, particularly women of color. And maybe just pivot a little bit to like the experience for you of writing the book.
Yes.
So, you know, in your own profession, you know, things have changed and how the whole process of publishing during the pandemic went for you.
Thank you for asking that question. I mean, we were back and forth during the pandemic with our chief editor, who was fantastic, but trying to get this manuscript out. And I was grateful that the original manuscript had been really kind of prepared before the pandemic hit. But then trying to engage with our contributors in a meaningful way during that period of time was challenging, because all of us were challenged with everything from internet slowdown to, you know, children trying to find food while you're, trying to, pretend to work. We all felt it, and there were significant delays, which of course reflects the reality of, and the importance, I think, of the publication. The slowdown, if not full stop, on the dossiers of many of our colleagues is going to be felt for a while. And, particularly those who have decided to slow down their practice. Some talked about this in the book, slowing down their practice because they felt the need to create work-life flow that was conducive to a healthy life, because they're prescribing this to their patients, but they're not doing it themselves. And it's the same thing for me in the classroom when I tell, ask a student to think carefully and with patience and rigor upon the question that I'm giving you, and take your time to think about it, but you have a deadline. And so it's really the same thing. Am I modeling the same type of behavior that I'm asking of my students? And I had a lot of reflection, particularly when it came to how has being a mother affected the way that I engage with my own work? Clearly, a motherhood has informed a lot of it, because I'm interested in looking at it from a medical point of view. And I have a biology degree before I did arts. I did a biology degree. That's where I met my husband, in a neuroanatomy lab. And that's for another podcast, perhaps. But I got his attention by dropping the scalpel several times. Finally, he got the hint. This woman is trying to get my attention. I had to ask him out in the end because he was still very clueless. But biology is what brought me originally to post-secondary, but then it's the telling of the story that I find this so alluring and so attractive. My children will tell you I love to find things in their everyday and, give a lecture on it, and they tune out. They have been a great sounding board for my own, teaching, and listening to what they think might be a better approach on a subject. So it's amazing what children can do to enrich your practice of whatever that might be, and also challenge. And I think that's what was really important. I think that women, the research on women in medical practice is going to help inform a lot of women, not just women in medicine. We intersect our health with everything. So our health practitioner has a story. So when you walk into your office of a GP or your specialist, the person at the desk, the person examining your body has a story. And let's just remember that we're all walking stories. And I think that's really what we wanted to bring to light.
I just think it's so neat that, like you and your husband sort of embody these two, what people often see as very separate fields, right? In terms of arts and science. And yet you've managed to bring them together in a really meaningful way. And equally honoring the equal pieces of that, right? Where the science is really important. And I think we've seen that throughout the whole COVID-19 pandemic, right? The science is vital, but the story we tell around the science is just as important, because if nobody understands it or it doesn't reach people, then it can't take action in the world, right?
Right. And that's why those creative submissions was something that I really wanted to advocate. And he was, you know, he knows that he's going to have to put in fiction or creative nonfiction because he knew that wasn't just going to be traditional academic writing. But I feel like academics, sometimes we stifle ourselves with our own creative plume. We don't allow ourselves to use creative nonfiction as a manner of, exploring key issues. One of the questions that I thought was really interesting is, does knowing your physician or your child's physician is a mother, does that affect your experience as a patient? So if you know a little bit more about the person giving you the medical care, does that affect you? And so some of the people will say, well, I don't want to know. They're not my orthopedic surgeon is not my friend. I just want them to be the best. Well, sure, at their skill, but with skill comes a story. And I think that is the part for me that really came together. And I think for him, you know, when we were reading the piece by Dr. Harper or the piece by Dr. Watson, where we were really looking at a 360 perspective of something that's pretty banal, like, having an intervention before actual birth, for example, is considered quite normal. We've had conversations since writing this book. Really kind of he'll say to me, and he's an anesthesiologist by training, where he, you know, gives epidurals to women who are experiencing labor. And he will say to me, do you remember that article about interventions? Like, it's really making me think. Or he'll mention to me, he'll say, you know, there's a resident, you know, she's expecting a baby. I hope that she, is not treated differently. Or I hope she gets time to go have an ultrasound without feeling pressure to get back to rounds. Or so it's affected him. And he's not here to share this with you, but it has affected him how he sees mothers in his everyday and his colleagues as mothers. And so that's been really kind of fun to watch, because whatever inkling he may have had to, you know, remain an ally, be a feminist, etc., it's even more amplified by being part of this project. And me, I'm just delighted that I'm not in medicine. That's all I keep telling him. I'm like, look at me, I did the right choice and let you go to med school, and I went off and did my master's. But I have great respect for the field, partly because I had, you know, done my application and thought I was going that way, as well as, engaging with him with his work. A couple of the pieces were really, you know, hit us right in the heart. There's one piece called Dr. Mom Meets the Brain Surgeon. That one was a tough one to read, looking at mortality and the vulnerability of us all as humans on the table. But on top of that, when you leave behind family, and particularly children. And so that got us thinking about, and he, of course, in a clinical setting, you know, manages death, if I can say that, in many, many ways and often. And so to have it written in words and written by the physician themselves, experiencing near death, brings it into a different perspective for him, I think, and allows me to understand medicine a bit better. So I feel like it's really, like I said, a vibe, yeah, really back and forth. There was one piece that was written from the perspective of a young child whose mother was ill, and it's written by a child. And that was really powerful to hear a child describe her mommy, doctor, ill. And that was an interesting piece for us too. We're both parents, so we had to think about what it must feel like for a child to watch their parent, and particularly their mother, fall ill. So I think the intentions were to explore relationships, and what came out of it was a learning opportunity for both of us, which I'm very grateful for, despite having to write an introduction with your husband. After cleaning dishes and feeding children. And then we both look at each other going, we really need to get this introduction done. And of course, he has his very scientific style. I have my let's talk about everything style. And we had to come to a consensus and keep it short and sweet. And I think we did that.
Lots of negotiation.
Oh my goodness. My time on the union helped me with the negotiating. Yes, exactly. You know, we can't have this, but we have to have this. An MLA style, you know, versus Chicago manual. My goodness, you know, the scientists do it this way. The art people do it this way. So we had to battle that out. And most of the time it worked out.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're still married after that.
Still married. 20 years this year. So we're okay.
Wow. Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a really fascinating. So what I really think is amazing about this, as somebody who is going to be a mother, so I'm currently 6 months pregnant with my first, and very excited and nervous about all of those things. But just something that, you know, as you're talking came to mind for me is my OB is a mother, right? And the comfort that came with that, with knowing that she has been through, like, not just that she has done this for many years and is a highly trained professional in her field, but that she is a mother. It did change how comfortable I felt in her care. And I, you know, I don't know, I assume that's common practice for them to sort of disclose that with their patients. But yeah, it's just funny how it builds a solidarity knowing that, okay, this person has been through this personally, is living this, right? Their lived experience is similar.
I think it helps. I think there's a clinical aspect of medicine that's so, you know, I've been on this like Netflix binge lately. We're both watching ER. I think maybe it's Prime Video. I can't remember what it is. And both of us are like drooling over ER. I'm drooling over cloning. He's drooling over somebody. He's not telling me who it is. That's fine. Both of us are like nostalgic about this ridiculous 90s show, you know. Yeah. And Dr. Benson, you know, coming out, he's all Mr. Debonair and cool. And for the listeners who don't know who Dr. Benson is, you need to look up Peter Benson from ER. He's amazing. But we're watching this ridiculously fictitious show, you know, in our binge watching as the children go to bed and we should be doing other things. But in that binge of watching the drama, you know, of course he's critiquing every little thing and I'm like, oh, look at the story. Let's look at the story. So we're looking at it from different perspectives. But it is interesting when there are mother figures or mother patients or, you know, it is interesting. We both kind of are examining it differently. And when we do look at even the fictitious people who don't have the experience of being a mother, I quickly go, they don't know what it's like. And that lived experience is real. And that's exactly what happens in this book. We talk about that very openly, that, you know, does knowing that your care provider is a mom, does that change things? And I think it does. And I know it does. You know, I know someone who is an OB now in Ontario. And when she first started practicing, I felt like things were very cut and dry. And then when she became pregnant, I told her, I said, this will change your practice. This will change your practice a lot. You will understand even more what it feels like to have that sciatica nerve being pressed during the day, or what it feels like to want, you know, donaires in the middle of the afternoon. That will be real for you because it's outside of the medical school books, right? And I think that's with anything. And that's why if we celebrate within academia lived experience a little bit more. And when we're talking about, you know, trying to ensure that our students are getting a rich experience, that the professors and the librarians that we hire are bringing with them experience, lived experience. We don't always understand what that means, but it means someone who can get it. They have great scope of empathy because they have gone through it. And, you know, there are other healthcare providers who have not gone through it and still are able to provide great healthcare. But healthcare is, you know, not just prescribing or intervention. It's understanding the person before the patient, and looking at the humanity that you're providing, and, you know, conserving and protecting versus just the uterus or its function.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that. Is there anything else that you want to tell people about this book or about the process of writing it? Or
I think I don't judge books by covers. But the cover on our book is so pretty. And most of you who know me know I love color. And it's such a pretty cover. And we were really ecstatic when we saw the design. This is the kind of book I hope that you'll see advocacy, you'll see vulnerability, you'll see celebration of Black bodies, you'll see moms who are just ordinary women, you'll see extraordinary women who are scraping by the medical field. You'll see quite a diverse group. The reviews have been great. We're really, really lucky to have had such great reviewers, actually from a scope of backgrounds. Director of Humanities at Dalhousie. We've had our own Dr. Byers from Women and Gender Studies. So we're really, really delighted that we had such great reviews. And Demeter Press in general is a great place to go shopping for interesting and challenging works of art, I think.
That's great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us today. Really appreciate it. And I hope that this book does go out into the world and make change, right? Make change in people's minds and in their hearts and in the way they interact with one another. I think it's got the potential to do that. So I think it's very rare that you get something with so much really good science and also beautiful art, you know, that can really impact people profoundly. So I hope that happens in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Shauna.